So I have a question for you this morning. What do you want for Christmas? Ben, what do you want for Christmas? Thought about it? Did you tell your wife anything you wanted? No. Okay, Ben's one of those. Larry, how about you? Do you tell your wife what you want for Christmas?
I have not.
You have not?
No. I figured it'd wait until like January.
Yeah, it's too late, Ben. He needs therapy doing stuff like that. All right. Sarah, what do you want for Christmas?
I just want everybody together. I know that.
You want everybody together. This is a mom who's moving up in the years and realizing it's not about stuff, but it's not that many. No, no, no. I could have said that differently. All right. Debbie, what do you want for Christmas? So alternative giving, this year a gift in honor of your members of your family, a gift of the Christian flag to the church. Thank you for that. Yeah, some people want to do that. Anybody asking for anything for themselves? You won't raise your hand now, will you? I know. All right, what are you asking for, Kayla?
I want a filtered
shower head. A filtered shower head, not just any shower head. Does your husband know that? Okay. All right. I was going to call him if he didn't. You know, we all want something. And maybe you know the story behind this, but there's a song that talks about what I want for Christmas. There's actually several, but one of them in particular was on the radio this morning when I was coming in. It was Nat King Cole singing this. I was listening carefully to the words. The origin of the song goes back to 1944. A fellow named Don Gardner, who was an elementary school teacher, teaching second grade, asked the kids, what do you want for Christmas? So he started getting answers, but he couldn't help but laugh because just about every kid in the class was missing a tooth. At least one. Some were missing several. So he went home and he sat down, took him about 30 minutes, and he wrote the song, All I Want for Christmas Is... Yeah, you know that song, don't you? My Two Front Teeth. I'm glad you didn't mix that up with Mariah Carey's song. All I Want for Christmas Is You, which, of course, is talking about the one she loves. But there are different versions of what people want for Christmas, and you'll hear it sung over and over again. Don Gardner said that in the lyrics, he said, so that I can say Merry Christmas to you, because when you don't have those teeth, it's tough to whistle and you lisp. And so he got a chuckle out of that, and it became very popular, of course. Now, we do the same thing in our family. We say, what do you want for Christmas? We ask them to put the list together so we'll have a chance to know. And they list things that they want or they hope to get. And we're not going to get it all for them. Katie, Matt, I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to get everything on your list. But you're going to get some things, which is the point. We want them to be special and loving. But I have a question, maybe a different way of thinking about that this year. If God had a list of what God wants for Christmas, what do you think would be on it? Now, obviously, God doesn't need anything. Thank heavens. There's no, you know, Middle East Amazon for God. We don't need that. God really doesn't need anything, except maybe God wants on his list something from us. That may be what would be on God's list as an expectation for each and every one of us. But if you knew what God's list was, what God would ask of you, we would say, what do you think would be on the list? And maybe we could say there's a second question. Not only what is on God's list of what God wants of you or asking you to do, the second question might be, how are you doing? Now, that gets much more personal, doesn't it? First, identifying what you're doing is one thing or should be doing, but are you doing it? It's very different. And actually, we do know what God wants of us. It's in Scripture. It's all over the place. What does the Lord desire of us? Keeps showing up again and again. It's what God desires from us internally and externally in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions. But the question is, again, if we know what's on God's list, are we doing just that? Now, one father told about an experience he had with his kids near Christmas. Now, they had a habit in this family of, they decided that they were going to memorize Scripture as a family. So they picked a verse a week. And that verse was written on a card, and they always kept the cards in the center of the table, and they would sit down and say, the verse this week is this, and then they would all commit to memorize it. Mom, Dad, the kids, they would memorize that verse. But they would also talk about the verse and what it meant. How does it play out in their lives? So it seemed to be going pretty well, and then one evening, close to Christmas, this dad heard his two daughters fighting. They were down the hall, and he heard this, "I hate you." And, of course, the other one responded, "Well, I hate you more." And it just got worse and worse. And Dad thought, you know what, I'm not going to jump in. But he had an idea, so he called out, "Kara, what is our verse this week? What's our scripture verse?" And, of course, immediately Kara stopped, and she answered in her most pious voice, "Dear friends, since God so loved us as much as this, we surely ought to love each other too." And then she went back to punching her sister. So he tried the other daughter. "Dana, what's our verse?" She knew it too, and then immediately went back to fighting with her sister. So much for it actually applying or taking effect in their lives. Dad, as it turned out, had to get up and physically intervene between his two daughters. So let me ask you again, because I do think this is an important question. Otherwise, we could end up like those two sisters. If we knew what God wants of us, is that what you are actually doing? Is that the way you're living? One pastor said this, "Christianity is not so much about knowing the facts as about how we live." We must get the Bible off the shelf and into the self. I think that's a pretty good perspective. It's not just about knowing what God has on that list for us or what God wants us to do. It's actually more about doing it. Jesus, when speaking of the final judgment, points to what a life committed to following God's will looks like. Now, I told you that in Scripture, you can turn to many places to find what God desires of us. And this may sound like a strange text the week before Christmas, but it's actually appropriate. Because I do think it would be one of those things that God would ask of us, not just at Christmas, any time of the year. This is Matthew 25. There are three great stories in Matthew 25, but I want to begin in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence. And He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.'" For, here comes the list. Paying attention? "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" Well, then the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Now this story, this parable continues with pointing out that the goats who do not do these things are condemned. They're not willing to do what's on the list. God's list, or should we say God's expectation of us, is that if we decide to follow Him, that is, to be one of His disciples, then we should be a reflection of His love. So how are you doing? I know I keep asking that, but I do think it's that important. How are you doing? Do people see the love of God in you? Are you just saying the words without living the life? Like those two sisters. Or like so many are wont to do, which is part of what's behind all the pain and darkness in our world. You can carry a Bible with you. and live a despicable life. You can know Scripture and hurt people. I mean, that happens all the time. Bob Orr once said, there is a prerequisite for knowing the will of God, and it is this, being willing to do it. Let me say that again. There is a prerequisite for knowing the will of God, and it's this, being willing to do it. He goes on to say, God does not say to you, I'll show you my will, and then I'll let you decide if you'd like to do it. He does not reveal his will so that you can speculate on it, so that you can think about it, or that you can take it to a church board meeting and vote on it. God reveals his will to people who are committed to do it, no matter what it is. And I'll be the first to tell you that that can be hard. Because Jesus said some things that kind of go against my grain, my nature. Pray for those who persecute you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other. Do not return evil with evil, but return evil with love. Sometimes that's really hard to do. So, are you willing to do what Jesus asked you to do? Are you willing to bring help and comfort where it's needed? I don't think that's going to happen unless we are really committed. I think this Christmas, we need to make sure that we're not so much caught up in producing a list of wants, but rather we're caught up in doing what God asks of us. And what I love about this parable is it's often quite simple. Listen to what's on the list. A cup of water. Of course, that represents a lot. But it doesn't have to be beyond us. It doesn't take a theological education to understand this. It includes a visit, a meal, an invitation. These are the things that are on God's list. Not just at Christmas. I hope you know that. But every day of the year. In other words, I believe that the most important thing that we can give is not on a list, not on any of our list, but rather it comes with asking, what does God want for Christmas? What does God want of me? So did I tell you what I want for Christmas? Peace, joy, love, hope. But it's not so much that I want it for myself. I really want it for the world. And it's going to happen if I start sharing it. Because God has already given those gifts to me. That's on his list. But it is up to me and you to decide if we're going to convey those gifts. And it may be quite simple, as I said, such as don't respond in like, but return that impatient, hurried, anger answer with patience and love and joy and hope and peace. Or reconcile a broken relationship. Or show someone you care. Just do something different. Go ahead and reach out to them and let them know you care. Often people will be surprised when you do that, but it's one of those moments. We had a group that went Christmas caroling last night. And as they went to the homes of our homebound and shut-ins, there was one visit in particular that kind of captured our hearts. One of our members is bedridden. Her son cares for her in her home, and she rarely leaves her bed. But her son opened the window last night and moved her bed around so that her head was in the window, and they sang the Christmas carols to her. And it just brought joy to her. But it also brought joy to those who were singing. Do you know that's not complicated? But it's exactly what God wants. Go and bring these gifts as you go in peace and go in love. Amen.